eating the grave. And so, God, we're just here to praise your name this morning. And so, Lord, I pray that you speak through Brother Bill now as he comes. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated.
Amen. Well, you know, Jesus says we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Amen. I pray this morning that you have worshiped in spirit and in truth. That is, I pray that as you've sung, "I will rise," I hope you're declaring the truth. I hope and pray that you really have come to that point, place in your life where you've put your trust and your faith in Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. And you know for certain, on that day, you will rise. Amen? Amen. Man, I'm telling you, there's people that are looking for signs and trying to figure out all these things. I'm just listening for my name to be called. Can I get a witness? Amen? Man, I'm telling you, just ready to go. Hey, if you have your Bible this morning, open with me, or your text, or your phone, your iPad, whatever you follow Scripture on, to 2 Chronicles 32. Now, that's in the Old Testament, not 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, but 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. I have to confess this morning when I talk about spiritual warfare and the devil getting into things, devil might have got into me a little bit this morning trying to stir up this stuff with Ole Miss and LSU, but I'll have to ask God to forgive me later, right? But anyway, hey, listen, when we think about spiritual warfare, we think about battles, and we think about great leaders in battle. I heard a story about back in the days of the American Revolution. There was a guy that was out one day riding a horse through the country there, and he came upon a group of soldiers. And these soldiers were tired, worn out, just battle fatigued. And they were trying to build and try to secure a safe place for themselves. And there was this guy that was there, and he was just barking out orders, and he was just telling them what to do, and he was just really just a hard taskmaster over them. And the guy on the horse asked him, he said, why are you hollering and screaming at your men to do this stuff? Why don't you get in there and help them? And he said, "Sir, I have you know I'm a corporal." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were a corporal." And the guy got down off the horse, and he went over there, and he started helping the men. And they got the place secured, and they got, you know, some things up there to protect them and all that kind of stuff. And the guy got back on the horse, and he looked at the corporal, and he said, "Now, corporal, the next time you find your men in this situation and they need some help, you be sure and call your commanding officer, your commander-in-chief, and I'll come again." He was none other than George Washington. When we think about spiritual warfare, we think about the devil attacking us, and we think about how we're to engage in these things and how we defend ourselves. We need to understand that in this spiritual warfare, we have a commander-in-chief, none other than God Himself. Amen? God is our commander-in-chief. Now, when you think about it in military terms, we look back through American history, and we see great military leaders, great generals and great military minds, men like Dwight Eisenhower and George Patton and Douglas MacArthur and Norman Schwarzkopf and Colin Powell and all these guys. And you look around today and you go, where are the next guys? Well, I'm thankful this morning that we don't need a next guy. We've got God, right? Our commander in chief. And so I want you to see in Scripture this morning the role that God plays in our spiritual warfare as our commander-in-chief. In 2 Chronicles 32, beginning in verse 1. These are in the days of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah has done great things for God. He's cleaned the temple up. They've done some things. It's revival in the land. And it says in verse 1, it says, "After these deeds of faithfulness." Isn't that just right? I mean, God's doing this work. Hezekiah's following the Lord. Everything's good. And after that, what happens? The old devil attacks, right? It says, "Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah. He encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself." Sennacherib. That just sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Say that name this morning with me. Say, Sennacherib. Sennacherib. It's not even fun to say, is it? It's nasty in your mouth, right? It gives a bad taste, right? Oh, Sennacherib. It says in verse 2, it says, "And when Hezekiah saw that Sennacherib had come and that his purpose was to make war against Jerusalem, he consulted with the leaders and commanders to stop the water from the springs which were outside the city, and they helped him. Thus, many people gathered together who stopped all the springs and the brook that ran through the land, saying, 'Why should the kings of Assyria come and find much water?' And he strengthened himself, built up all the wall that was broken, raised it up to the towers, and built another wall outside. Also, he repaired the Milo in the city of David and made weapons and shields of abundance. And then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, 'Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God, to help us and to fight our battles.' And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah." Now, I want you just to see this, okay? Sometimes as we read through, it's kind of like, okay, what's going on here? They're hoping to prevent Jerusalem's capture. Oh, Sennacherib has come out. He's going to try to overtake Jerusalem here. And Hezekiah takes measures here to protect the city. First of all, he conceals the city's water supplies. Doesn't want the enemy to realize that there's water. He doesn't want the enemy to have the water. And so he conceals that. And then he repairs the wall, where the walls have been torn down. He builds them up. He even builds them up to the top of the towers. He even constructs an outer wall. He adds an extra layer of protection there to strengthen the city. He takes all of these measures. And then he sets up more weapons. Man, he develops more weapons, stockpiles the armory, if you will, and then he mobilizes the people under the officers, and he gives them words of encouragement. That's all that Hezekiah had done. But then he makes the most strategic move of all. He says, "Don't be discouraged. There's more of us than there are of them. The Lord will fight our battle for us." Amen? Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is this morning, in spiritual warfare, it's not enough. Listen, the Bible says in Ephesians that we take the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is the Word of God. We need to have an understanding of the Word of God. We need to be praying. We need to do all these things. We need to have the shield of faith. We need to have the helmet of salvation. We take on all this weaponry. We take on all of this armor. That's what Hezekiah was doing. He was outfitting the city. But without the presence of God, none of that helps. We need to make sure that we're under the commander-in-chief, God, or we'll fail miserably. Listen, the devil is good at deviling, and we have one God that'll defeat him. Amen? And so we need to fall in order under our commander-in-chief. So let's look this morning at three helps, if you will, that we get from our commander-in-chief, God. Notice, first of all, that God's eyes are upon us. The all-knowing, all-seeing God, His eyes are all upon us. Look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles in 16, just a couple of pages back. And then in verse 9, it says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." So the eyes of the Lord range to and fro, strengthening those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Remember what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8? It says the devil is like a roaring lion going where? To and fro and seeking whom he may devour. Isn't it good news to know this morning that as the devil's going to and fro and seeking whom he may devour, that we have a commander-in-chief who's going to and fro and seeing whose heart's on him, and he's delivering us? Amen? Amen? Man, I praise God. Listen, nothing can happen which is not known to Him who is emphatically the omniscient God. It is that He already knows. He's the all-knowing. He's the all-wise. He's the all-powerful God. Now, there's another passage over in Zechariah Zechariah's in the Old Testament over there in some of those minor prophets, those places where your Bible pages are stuck together. But just look on the screen this morning with me. In Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "Behold, the stone which I have laid before Joshua, upon the stone are seven eyes." Now, what does the number seven mean in Scripture? Perfection, right? So the perfect eyes upon the stone. "Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity that the land in one day." Now, next chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 10, it says this, "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven," speaking back to those eyes, "rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." It's imagery here for us to understand that the seven eyes of God, imagery, not literal, okay? It means perfect vision. There's absolutely nothing that happens that God doesn't see. You ever found yourself in a situation and you question, "Hey, God, you see where I'm at? God, you see what I'm going through? God, you see what they did to me?" And God says, "Yeah, I saw it. Saw it before it happened. Saw it ahead of time because of His perfect vision." God's eyes are upon us. Again, this is expressive of His watchfulness over His people. Here's another good verse, just an example, Jeremiah 31 and verse 28. "And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up, to break down, to throw down, to destroy, and to afflict, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord." God's eyes are always on us. God's eyes are always over us to help us, to do a counterwork of the adversary. As the devil is going to and fro and seeking whom he may devour, we have a God who's going to and fro seeking whom he can save. And all of those of us who would come to Him. This extends in all of creation to us, in natural actions. How do fish spawn and migrate in seasons? By the secret direction of God. How do the birds know where to go? You know, how do they know how to get there? Because God's guiding them. God sees them. In civil actions, the counsels of men are all ordered by Him. The Bible says in Proverbs, "Many are the plans of a man, but God orders his steps." He guides us through His eyes. In 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah was fed by the ravens, God was there watching over Elijah. Amen? God's watching over the affairs of men. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12, and this is actually a quote that comes out of Psalms. We got that? Here we go. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Looking for and hastening the day of the Lord. Listen, God knows what's ahead. God knows what's coming. And God has prepared for us those days. Listen, God doesn't rely on intelligence reports. You know, in military warfare, intelligence, listening. We have places that listen to chatter all over the world, trying to hear what the enemy's doing, hearing what the enemy's saying, so that we can counteract ahead of time. We're trying to gain that intelligence. God doesn't need an intelligence department. He is the intelligence department. He already knows. He sees everything that's done. Nothing can be done in secret. He is knowledge, and He knows all things, and He sees all things. I saw a commercial here recently about a security company, and they were advertising, you know, and there's these two dogs. Y'all have probably seen the commercial. There's these two dogs out there at night in the backyard, and they're talking to each other over the fence, you know. And they're talking about the fact that, hey, my owner's over here. They got a new security system, and I don't have to do anything anymore. And about that time, the security thing goes off, and they look, and there's a guy that would be a thief, you know, about to go in, and the alarm goes off, and he goes running off. And the two dogs look at each other and go, "Man, I didn't even see that. Did you see him?" "I didn't see him." Yeah. Listen, I don't care. The best guard dog in the place can be fooled, right? But not God. God sees all. God knows all. And God is in control of all. Listen, I want you to take great comfort this morning in knowing that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, whatever challenges are before you, I want you to know God is aware. God sees. You never have to question. God, do you see where I'm at? God, do you know what I'm going through? God, did you see what they did to me? You don't ever have to question God. God does see. God does know. And God cares. Amen? Amen? I hope that'll encourage you. But then notice also that God is engaged with us. God's engaged with us. He says the Lord will fight our battle. It's not that the Lord's over there on the sideline going, go get them, guys. No, the Lord goes before us. And the Lord fights our battles for us. Here's another good verse in Psalms 125 in verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. It's the fact that He's put this hedge of protection around us. Listen, Jerusalem itself, topographically, it's located on a mountain with mountains around it. It kind of sits in a bowl. It's so fortified. And it's a picture that God is encamped with us there, that He surrounds us and that He protects us. He's all around His people. Psalms 34 verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. Some of you guys can picture this. Some of you guys like to watch the old Westerns, right? And in the Westerns, when they're traveling out west and the enemies attack, what do? They circle the wagons, don't they? They circle the wagons. I just know this morning that God circled the wagons around us. Amen? That He is encamped all around us. That we're under this hedge of protection. Again, Zechariah 2 and verse 5 says, for I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be in the glory in her midst. God camps all around. God circles us. Remember the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 about Elijah? And Elijah was outnumbered, and Elijah's servant was there, and the servant says, whoo, Elijah, have you seen the enemy out there? Man, it's a bunch of them. Elijah, we are surrounded. Elijah, how are we going to get out of here? And Elijah prayed. And he says there in verse 17, and Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. What God wants you to understand this morning is, you're not alone. There's more of you than there are of them. Hey, here's some simple math. You plus God equals a majority. Amen? You plus God equals a majority. Man, we have a God who encamps around us, who puts a hedge of protection around us, who walls us in and surrounds us with His arms. Listen, the king of Assyria had made his plans and was going to try to destroy Elijah and his servants. And listen, God surrounds him and He opens His eyes. I pray this morning that God would open your eyes and that you would see in the heavenlies the angels, God's army that surrounds you and protects you. Listen, when you look at this passage and you think about this, the foes are many. The Bible says there's a great host. The foes are mighty. The foes were mean. They just plain nasty, okay? They're just plain nasty. But think about it. In terms of God's army, this invisible army, invisible to the mortal eye, they are innumerable. They were invisible and also invincible. God was the unseen but the constant factor in the lives of these men and these women. Listen, the army of God camps between the trusting souls and His enemies. You're never alone. You're never isolated. You always have a God who is there with you, watching over you, but also encamping around you to protect you. Amen? And then God is engaged for us. Notice this pattern here. So Hezekiah, he gathers up all the men. He builds this wall up around the city. He collects all the ammunition. He puts the commanders in charge. He sets all this in place. And then he says, the Lord's going to go do the fighting.
Amen.
The Lord's going to go do the fighting. God's going to engage for us. Listen, God promised Moses in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14. He says, the Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Isn't that incredible that God took Moses, a guy that couldn't speak, had a speech impediment, and God used him to lead the children of Israel out of bondage into a life with God. And even though they go through a wilderness period, they're going to end up in the promised land. So God uses Moses to deliver them out of bondage. God says, I'll do it. I'll go and do it. Praise God, it wasn't based on Moses and his faithfulness, right? But it was God who had engaged. And then, not only with Moses, but God also promised David in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 24. It says, and it shall be when you hear the sound of the marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall advance quickly, for then the Lord will go out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. And David did so, and as the Lord commanded him, and he drove back the Philistines from Gibeah as far as Gezer. I love that. I love that imagery. You ever walk out in the outside and it's just calm, and then all of a sudden you hear something, and off in the distance the wind's starting to blow and it's coming through the tops of the trees. And you hear it before you feel it. Man, I love that imagery here. He says, hey, David, you just go out there. You just go out there, and when you hear the wind through the trees, when you hear the leaves, you'll know that's the Spirit of God going before you. I pray this morning in your life and in your situations, every time you hear the wind blow through the trees, I pray that you'll think about that. Hey, you know what? I didn't even realize it, but God's going before me. I don't know what the fight is over there, but God's already going. God's ahead of me, amen? I don't even know what I'm about to face, but I praise God that He's going ahead of me and that He's going to go ahead and defeat the enemy before I ever get there. Amen? That's the promise that He made to David. He also made that promise to Hezekiah. Look what He says there in verse 8. He says, with Him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. He makes that promise to Hezekiah. The king of Assyria is the evil man, and he's coming. It's the powers of the world, and he makes a promise to Hezekiah, I will fight your battles for you. Now, as any good Baptist, let's just stop this morning. Isn't it good that God made that promise to Moses? Amen? Isn't that good that God made that promise to David? Isn't that cool? Amen? Isn't that really nice that God would make that promise to Hezekiah? Amen? Now, let's just be good Baptists here for a second. What about me, Lord? What about me, Lord? Is that promise good for me? Absolutely good for you. I want you to look in Scripture in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 3. Galatians 1 and verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from the present evil age. Which evil age? The present evil age. According to the will of our God and our Father, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The same God, whose eyes were on Moses and David and Hezekiah, His eyes are on you. The same God who was encamped around Elijah is the same God who's encamped around you. And the same God who promised to fight the enemy for Moses, the same God who promised to fight the enemy for David, and the same God who promised to fight the enemy for Hezekiah is the same God who promises to fight your enemy today. Even in this present evil day. We look around at things that are going on in our world today and we go, man, it's never been this bad before. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. And we have a God who won those battles. And we have a God who will still win that battle today. Amen. To know that we have the promise of God that He'll engage the enemy on our behalf and that He will defeat him. Listen, I don't know where you're going to go this week. I don't know what you're going to be involved in this week. But I can almost guarantee you this morning that someplace, at some point and sometime this week, you're going to face an old Sennacherib. You're going to get in a situation, you're going to go, that preacher was right, there's old Sennacherib. You're going to go to work in the morning, and there's old Sennacherib going to meet you at the door, you know? It's going to be Friday, and you're going to think, man, whoo, praise the Lord, I made it through the week. Thank God it's Friday, right? Now I can go for the weekend, and some Sennacherib will just ruin your whole weekend. But praise God, Sennacherib's been defeated. Amen? This is one of my favorite passages. One of my favorite passages in Scripture. It's over in 2 Kings in the 19th chapter. 2 Kings chapter 19. And it's the same story of Hezekiah and Sennacherib. And God tells Hezekiah, I will go and fight your battle for you. And so look with me there in 2 Kings chapter 19. I don't think I have this on the screen. But in 2 Kings chapter 19, in verse 35. And it came to pass. Here it is. The battle is about to take place. And it came to pass on a certain night. Really listen to these words. That the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses, all dead. You know why I love that verse so much? Because here's what happened. Hezekiah and his men went to sleep. And while they were sleeping and resting, God sent one angel. The angel of the Lord. See that? That's singular. One angel. And how many did he kill? 185,000 Assyrians. One angel of God has more power than 185,000 Assyrians. And he wiped them out. And then I love that part. When they woke up, there they were, all dead. Amen. Man, Lord, if you're going to fight the battle, I just go take a nap. Amen. Instead of me staying awake all night trying to worry about it, come up with some plan, Lord, I'm just going to go to sleep and you just go to work. Amen. Rest in Him. And to know one angel of God. Listen, I don't know. Listen, some of y'all ain't getting this. I'm just fully convinced that if one angel of the Lord can destroy 185,000 Assyrians while they sleep, I just have to believe that one angel of the Lord can deliver me from whatever little penny enemy I might face this week. Amen? Listen, I've never had 185,000 enemies in one week. Not that I know of. May have felt like it, but I've never had that many enemies in one week. And to know that God can take care of that. Listen, this spiritual warfare stuff is real, okay? But I want you to know the God that we serve and the God who engages in battle for us, He is real. And He is real powerful. And He is real victorious. Amen? That's the God we serve. That's our commander-in-chief. That's the guy I want to go into battle with. Amen? That's the guy that I want to follow into battle, knowing that He will lead us to victory. Listen, it is, I don't know this morning, I don't know how you're going to fight your battles. You can choose to either fight it in the flesh or to fight it in the spirit. Man, I've come up, some of those enemies make me so mad. I remember one time one guy he infuriated me. And I came home, I told Ron, I said, I'm fixing to go down there and I'm fixing to give him a piece of my mind. I am getting in the flesh. And she said, now you don't need to do that. I said, oh yes, I do. I said, he's not a spiritual man. He don't understand spiritual things. He only understands flesh things. And I'm getting in the flesh with him. Amen? I didn't. Listen, you can try to fight it in the flesh and you'll lose every time. Because we're not of the flesh, we're of the Spirit. And when we go in the Spirit of God, we have victories. Listen, if you don't have people that regularly pray with you, people, individuals who encourage you, come along beside you, and you need to surround yourself with those kind of people, knowing that we have a God who is there for us. I love how Paul encouraged the church at Galatia. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?" Listen, there's a lot of this stuff out here in the world that we're fighting against. It really doesn't amount to a hill of beans anyway. There's some molehills out there that we're making mountains out of. And there's some mountains out there that we're making molehills out of. We need the spiritual discernment to allow God to fight our battles for us and let God determine what mountains to fight and what molehills to step over. Amen? So this morning, I pray that God will encourage you to know this morning that as we go through life, as we engage in spiritual warfare, that we have a God whose eyes are upon us, a God who is encamped around us, and a God who's already engaged for us. Amen? Amen. Father God, this morning we love you and we praise you. And God, we're so grateful this morning that God, in this life and in these battles, God, that you've already won the victory for us. That Father, that you're engaged with us. God, that you're a present God. That you're a God who sees and you're a God who protects and you're a God who conquers. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for being God. And Father, this morning, the greatest battle of all is, God, the battle for the soul of people. And I pray, God, even this morning, God, that you would win that battle right here, right now. God, there are people that are in the sound of my voice, whether it's on the radio, whether they're watching online, whether they're sitting in this room this morning. And God, Satan has them in his grip. God, they've never come to that point and place where they put their trust and their faith in you. And God, the devil is just devouring them, destroying them every day. And God, I pray this morning, God, that you would deliver them. I pray, God, now they would just turn to you. God, that you would open their eyes. God, that they would see their deliverance. God, this morning they put their trust and their faith in you and you alone. And so, Father, this morning I pray for them. God, I pray for your children today. God, those of us who have been saved, but yet, God, in this world, and we face some challenges. God, I pray that we can just see your hand at work. God, that we can trust you to deliver us. God, that you would break chains, that you'd set captives free. Father, this morning we'll just be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for the victory. Father, we love you and we ask you all this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, this morning we invite you to come. You may say, "I don't even really understand what that means." You know that you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so this morning, there's a God who loves you. There's a God who sent his Son to die on a cross for your sins. And so this morning, would you just simply trust him? Hey, make your way forward. Say, "Hey, Pastor, today, I don't really understand what all that salvation is about, but I know I've never experienced that, and I want that today in my life." Would you just simply come this morning? As we stand and as we sing, as God's leading, you come today. Maybe you want to just come to the prayer altar this morning, just giving it all over to God. "God, today, I just want to come in your presence. God, surround me today. You come."
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Amen, amen. Listen, we won't prolong this morning. Hey, this is the hardest thing I do is to end a service. Hey, if you've never made that decision to follow Christ, before you leave this place today, come, please, find me. Let's talk. I'll be right out here. Let's get that settled this morning before you leave this place. Hey, I want to encourage you. There's several things that are going on that you need to get plugged into. I want to encourage you in that. First, this afternoon, 5 o'clock, we have small groups that meet here at the church. We've got some groups that meet on prayer, and then we have some groups that are talking about just how to share your faith and places to share your faith. And so come be a part of one of our small group discussion times tonight. It's just good fellowship, good time to have good conversations. And then next Saturday is a trip to Hattiesburg. Is that right? Okay, that got canceled. Okay, we still got it in our book. If you see that announcement in your bulletin, scratch that off, okay? So not going there. But next Sunday is going to be a special day. Because we're going to have church right here Sunday, and then Sunday evening, we're having a community-wide worship together. The Warren Baptist Association, churches here in Vicksburg, Warren County, we're all going to be meeting together Sunday evening over at First Baptist Church, downtown Vicksburg, and we're going to be doing joint worship there. Our worship team's going to be a part of that, and it's just going to be a great time of worship together and seeing churches come together. Hey, we all serve the same God. We all worship together every once in a while. Amen? Amen. And so it'll be a great night as well. So get plugged into that. And then there's some ministry opportunities that are coming up in October. You'll see those in your bulletin. You'll see those. We have an announcement wall back here in the back. And so you'll see those as well. So find a place to get plugged into those as well. All right. All right. Did I miss anything? Did I leave anybody out? All right. Hey, it's been a great morning of worship. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to continue to worship, right?
That's right.
Sometimes we sing these songs at the end. It's kind of like, okay, get your stuff together and leave out. Hey, we're still worshiping, right?
That's right.
We're still worshiping. So let's do that this morning.
Let's sing it. He lives.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Y'all have a blessed week.